The fourth Sunday after the Epiphany. The first lesson is taken from 1 Kings chapter 3. At Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued the great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on the throne this very day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem, stood before the ark of the Lord's covenant, and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then he gave a feast for all his court. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligent of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord, the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Well, I greet you in the strong name of Jesus this morning. There was a lady that lived in an apartment complex, and one day there was a knock at her door, and she got up to answer it, and standing at the door was a man that had a very sad look on his face. He said, "I'm sorry to disturb you, but I'm collecting money for a destitute family that lives in your apartment complex. They need help paying their rent so that they have a place to live. The husband's out of work, the children are hungry, the utilities are in danger of being cut off, and if they don't pay their rent by this afternoon, they'll be kicked out of the apartment any day." Well, immediately the lady desired to help the family out, and so she went and got some money. And so she came to the door and she gave the man some money and she says, "Here's some money to help the family with all of their needs. And by the way, I want to thank you for taking your time to go around and to, collect money for this needy family. By the way, who are you?" And the man said, "I'm the landlord." You see, a person can appear to have good motives, but be found not to be wholeheartedly serving God's interests. And that's the way it is today, isn't it? I mean, there are so many points of information that we hear or that we read or that we see that don't turn out to be the way they're presented. I mean, we're certainly living in an era of what some people might call fake news. We have ever more unscrupulous people that are trying to scam people and defraud them out of money or maybe their personal information for nefarious purposes. So much so that you have to be careful about what you believe is true and what is not true. Living in the world today, people tell us that we have to be wise in our interactions with other people. Well, where do we go for such wisdom? You know, too often we invest in knowledge, but not wisdom. Information is knowledge, but it's not wisdom. Wisdom is more. Wisdom is the ability to take that information, verify it, understand it, and use it to make right decisions. But human wisdom is different than godly wisdom. Paul wrote in our second reading today from 1 Corinthians, he said, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than men's wisdom." God wants all of us to be tuned into His wisdom, so much so that we may be foolish. And by that I mean that we may be foolish in the eyes of the world, but we're wise in the eyes of the one that counts, God. Well, how do we do that? It starts with respect for God and His Word, and leads us to live the way that God wants us to live. You know, Proverbs 9, verse 10 tells us this. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Reading and studying and knowing God's teachings gives us the ability to discern truth from lies, right from wrong. And it decreases our self-centeredness and increases our God-centeredness. It helps us enhance the kingdom of heaven. We learned a little bit about this wisdom in our first lesson today, our Old Testament lesson from 1 Kings 3. So I'm sure most of you knew the story of Solomon, where Solomon was asked directly by God what he wanted God to give him. In a dream, God spoke to Solomon, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Yeah, he could have had anything he wanted. Whew, boy, the temptation. Man, to ask for riches. Huh? To ask for power. To ask for fame. To ask for revenge on my enemies. I'm sure Solomon had all of those temptations. But Solomon must have been pretty sensible to begin with, because he asked for something that God would have wanted to give him anyway. Solomon said, "Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" Now I can just see the world reading this passage and saying, "You fool! You could have had anything you wanted and you blew the opportunity." But what was important to Solomon? He had been made king to replace his father David. And Solomon recognized what a great responsibility he was entrusted with. He had to lead the nation, the great nation that God had called to be His chosen people. An awesome responsibility, to say the least. The thing that was important to Solomon was the thing that was important to God. It's what God treasured. He recognized that Israel was important to God and that God wanted Israel to succeed. And so he asked for wisdom to be able to govern that great nation for God. He wasn't looking to enrich himself for, you know, his personal benefit, although, in fact, that did happen. He wasn't looking for personal notoriety, although he did receive that too. He was looking to God for what was important to God. And he wanted to build up what God wanted. And that was to have a wise and discerning ruler over Israel, one that would make the proper decisions. He wanted to be the best servant for God that he could be. And so his request, some would say, God's test of Solomon, pleased God. God said, "I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings." Even though Solomon didn't ask for riches and honor, he received both of those. And in the next verse, God promised him long life if he followed the commands that God wanted him to, like his father David had done. And God did indeed bless Solomon, as we know. In chapter 4 of Kings, we read, "God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight, and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the men of the East, and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than any other man, and his fame spread to all the surrounding nations." God blessed Solomon. But if you read further in Solomon's life, you know that his riches and his fame took a toll on him. His God-given wisdom was taken over by his human wisdom. And that human wisdom was his downfall. You see, there's consequences, you know, for any actions that are not, or that are contrary to God's will. So, what's that mean for us? Our desire should be to use godly wisdom in our life, not human wisdom. True wisdom comes from God and doesn't exist without God's interaction, intervention. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8, "The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. But the man who loves God is known by God. When we recognize that God is the center of our world and not ourselves, we begin to understand Him and we begin to understand our role, the role that He has for us in this life. Walking daily with God keeps us in His, keeps us in touch with Him and keeps us in His will. Walking daily, searching His Scripture, reading about Him, talking to Him in prayer, studying Him, meditating on Him, walking daily with God keeps us in touch. I mean, look at what Solomon wrote. He wrote Proverbs, and in Proverbs 13 he said, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." And true to his own proverb, we see what happened to Solomon when he stopped walking with God. Solomon's wisdom, at least in his personal life, evaporated. God gives wisdom through His Holy Scripture and through His Son. Jesus is the Word of God, the Word that became flesh. Now, let me emphasize this. There is no greater wisdom than to know that Jesus is the only way that we can escape eternal death by receiving faith in Him as our Savior. He proved that by being put to death on the cross and rising again on that third day, as predicted by God's Holy Scripture some hundreds and years prior to that. And yet, the world wants us to disregard that. It wants us to ignore His death and His resurrection. The world would have us reject that and even mock Jesus. That we would even have the idea that He would do that for us. Paul wrote in our lesson today from 1 Corinthians 1, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Worldly wisdom champions human reason over everything else. The cross goes against all the wisdom of man and all that man considers powerful. But in God's economy, that foolishness, quote unquote, is to be selected over worldly wisdom. Paul continues. He says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know Him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe." The message of the cross, the message of Christ's death and resurrection may be foolishness to unbelievers, but to us believers, it's the power of God to save us for all eternity. My friends, let's strive to remain in that power. He gives us wisdom to carry us into all eternity. But He also gives us wisdom to live this life before eternity happens. As examples of that, in our gospel lesson today, Jesus gives us wisdom for this age with what we call the Beatitudes. Now, I won't go into all of those, but you've read them before. You know pretty much what they say. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, the meek, the merciful, the peacemakers, and so on. True wisdom is found in those words. True wisdom is found in those words and all of the words of Holy Scripture. The treasure of God's wisdom is contained in the Bible. In Proverbs 2, Solomon tells us about finding that wisdom. He said, if you look for it as for silver, and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. What we value in this life should be what God values. Solomon had a role to play in the kingdom of Israel, and he knew that Israel was important to God, right? So he wanted to enhance the nation of Israel through his governing of it. Well, likewise, we have a role to play in God's holy kingdom, His heavenly kingdom. God cares about His kingdom, and He wants us to care about it too. In Matthew 13, Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The men in those two parables were all in, weren't they? They sold everything they had to get the kingdom of heaven. It was important. It was valuable. It was the most valuable thing. You see, God's wisdom comes through the searching of His Word with the help of the Holy Spirit. But you can't find it if you're not looking for it. We should be praying for God to show us His wisdom when we're reading His Scripture. As James wrote in his letter, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So our first step is to pray for the gift of God's wisdom and discernment as we search His Word. The second step is for God to tell us what is important to Him. He'll tell us what He values in our lives. And then we can pray for Him to help us accomplish His will through us. Now let me give you an example. We know that sharing the message of salvation through Jesus, we know that's important to God, right? And we also know that the world considers that foolishness and doesn't want it preached, doesn't want it talked about. Now, in our gospel lesson today, Jesus said, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Maybe we should be asking God for courage to share the good news when those divine appointments come along. Maybe we should be asking for discernment to know when those divine appointments do come along. Whatever you ask of God has to stay associated with God's will, or it won't be a blessing. My friends, let's make it a goal of ours to take the first step to be wise. Let's ask God for His wisdom and His discernment in our own lives. Let's look for God's treasure in our lives, in His Scripture. And then when we find it, let's be all in. Let's sell all that we have to make it our own. Let's show those around us what we value, the kingdom of heaven, for them and for all of us. Let's not let others perish in the foolishness of this world. Let's use the power of God, the message of the cross, to help people out of that foolishness. Let's use God's wisdom and discernment to enhance what's important to God, His kingdom. Now, you may know, some of you know, that 2017 is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And you'll hear more and more about that as the year goes along. But if you go on the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod website and look at the beginning of the celebrations there, you'll see the banner promoting the 500th anniversary. And it has a motto or a saying on it. The motto of the LCMS for this Reformation year is, "It's still all about Jesus." My friends, it's still all about Jesus. The message of the cross, the message of His resurrection, foolishness according to the world. But to us, it's the power of God. Amen?